This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Football fans, I'm sure we all love an action-packed, high-scoring NFL game, but the latest no-brainer from DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, you'll be a winner once single points are scored. New customers who bet just $1 on any team to score can win $100 in free bets. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps. Bet $1 on any team to score and win $100 in free bets. If they score, you score with promo code FANRUN in all caps this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older and Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line. 1-800-889-9789.
It's time for the Drive's Top 4 at 4.
Hour number two of The Drive underway. It's Fan Run Radio on the Top 4 at 4, brought to you this afternoon by our guy Les Turner at Right Approach Financial. Here's Jake Miller.
Thank you, Russell. Up first, Tennessee takes on Texas Tech tonight in the Jimmy V Classic. The Vols enter as a 4.5-point favorite with tip-off at 7 o'clock on ESPN.
Yeah, it should be a good one. Do you go ahead and plug Triple J back into the starting lineup, or do you just kind of leave him as the sixth man at this point?
Well, you mean kind of like the Jordan Bowden experiment that we had?
Yeah.
Better bringing him in off the bench.
I'd play him ahead of Bailey. That's for sure. Ugh. It'll be interesting to see what Barnes does with the lineups and the rotations. Is, you know, we're getting closer to the thick of it. We got Memphis on Saturday, a couple cupcakes after that, and then Arizona game, and we're into the thick of it. SEC town, going to Bama.
And up next at number two, any unvaccinated NBA player with temporary visa status who leaves the country will be unable to re-enter the United States. For example, a player who is not vaccinated against COVID-19 would be unable to re-enter the United States after playing in Canada. The same applies if an unvaccinated player travels outside the United States during NBA All-Star Weekend.
I'll be honest, Jake, my eyes kind of glaze over when she start talking about all the different rules. It's like, dude, just get the stupid shot. Like, why? Why make it so hard on yourself?
I mean, your arm's going to hurt for about 2-3 days after the fact. You're going to be fine.
No, it's not. Like, I didn't have any. And I'm a wuss, man. I'll be the first to tell you. Like, I did not have any. And I know it's anecdotal, man. Everybody's different. Some people respond differently. But these guys are well-conditioned athletes. I haven't heard of any of those guys having problem with the shot, but no. I don't want to get everybody all upset. Jump through the hoops if that's what you want to do. Make it hard on yourself, I guess.
Yep. And number three, Josh Heupel and company have landed another one, this time coming in the form of a JUCO prospect from East Mississippi Community College. Defensive back Desmond Williams committed to the Vols after we went off the air yesterday. The Vols move up to 20th nationally.
Hey!
And 8th in the SEC.
Knock, knock, knocking on the door.
Here we
of
come.
The top 20.
Here we come.
Well, it sounds like Justin Williams and Caleb Webb are strong Tennessee leans, both 4-star prospects from the state of Georgia.
And that would give us, that'd give us 20 in total.
Yeah, and it would put us in the top 20 firmly, at least on 247. So,
well, that's something that we got to take into consideration here is a lot of these classes above us have, you know, commitments in the 20s. You know, we're sitting, I think, 17 or 18 right now. One of them being a soft commit from Vincent Snead.
Oh, he's done. No, I mean, I think they processed him, so he's not
right.
He's not coming. But I think he already committed to Marshall, too. But anyway, like I think Tennessee's – it's trending the right way. We've got early signing day a week from tomorrow. So, I mean, this is it. We're in the home stretch.
Yeah, this is true. And number four, Texas Southern entered yesterday's game against Florida 0-7. And Florida was ranked 20th, boasting a 6-1 awesome record. Texas Southern would go into the swamp. That wouldn't really be the swamp.
Well, we'll go with that.
Yeah. And drop the hammer on the Gators to win the game 69-54. Nice.
Bent them over a barrel and showed them the 50 states. We'll see how much you guys know about your college hoops. Do you know who strode the sidelines for your Texas Southern Tigers last night?
Johnny Jones.
Oh, you read my tweet, didn't you?
No.
Really?
I didn't read your tweet.
Coach at LSU.
Johnny Bones Jones, yeah. Couldn't make the tournament with freaking Ben Simmons in his lineup. But by God, he took little Mike.
Defensive Johnny Jones, you know, it's like Ben Simmons has done a lot up there in Philly.
He's pretty good. He should have been a better college player than he's turned out to be. But he showed little Mikey White in his size medium dress shirt and his little clip-on tie and his sports cuts hairdo. He showed him the 50 states. All of them.
They were previously hadn't won a game.
Nope.
Yeah, they were 0-7 going into the game. Florida was 6-1, number 20 in the nation, and just flat out stomped them.
You hate to see it.
Couldn't happen to a nicer bunch of guys.
You really do.
Go Gator.
That is the top four at four. Thank you, Jake. It's brought to you by Les Turner, Right Approach Financial. If you got any questions about financial planning, investing, asset management, saving for retirement, call Les and let him show you the right approach. Folks, it's never too soon, and it's never too late either to start planning for your retirement. Start developing your personal strategy today with Les Turner. Give him a call, 865-498-3047, and he'll give you the free consultation. 865-498-3047, online, rightapproachfinancial.com. We have open lines right now. If you want to jump in on the festivities, 865-546-8200. Your number to get on the G3 Help Me Hotline, 546-8200. You know, Jake talking a little cruton there.
Mm-hmm.
Tennessee picking up the commitment from Des Williams last night. And the recruiting message boards are all aflame this afternoon, Bear, because Zach Evans is back. You remember his wild and woolly recruitment last year.
It's being said that it may be the weirdest, most out there recruitment ever. There's a whole long video about it on YouTube.
Yeah, I watched that too. Yeah, it was weird. And
he's a wacky kid.
He landed at TCU, but he's out of there now, and it looks like Tennessee's getting a visit. Looks like Ole Miss is getting a visit. And you watched the video on this dude. I showed you his highlight reel from last year.
I watched it.
Who does he remind you of?
Kamara. Some of his moves.
Freaking the second coming, man.
Spin move. I wonder. I didn't see anywhere he completely broke away from everybody the way Kamara can and did. Even a couple of times here.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lofty comparison to be sure.
Yeah.
But he's a five-star talent,
man. You kind of see it. I mean, he's got that same build. He's got incredible balance. He's really hard to bring down.
Slithery.
He will absolutely plant his hand in the dirt and regain his balance and run another 20 yards on you. He's one of those backs.
He's
very huge, like
the Cars. Like the Cars saying, he's just what we needed. He's just what we need.
Oh yeah. Can run between the tackles, shifty. He's got the moves.
I mean, I this dude and Jabari Small. Behind four starting returning offensive linemen, Hooker, Tillman, a couple of plug-and-play receivers. Woo!
I mean, we've still got some guys over there who I think, Ramel Keaton, another year in the system.
Hyatt.
Burner.
I mean, it's like they're doing a good job. And here's the thing with this recruiting class. You look at it, and it's, okay, you're about to crack the top 20. And you're thinking, man, some of these players are really nice. The kid who committed yesterday, okay, he didn't have Alabama and Clemson offers, but Mississippi State offer. He led the nation in junior college interceptions last year. So that's a nice player. It's a nice player. But then you look at what the rest of the league is doing, and you're like, man, this ain't going to cut it.
No, you have to have you got to have top talent.
But the way you do that is selectively you bring in a Zach Evans.
Yeah,
and the recruiting rankings, they're going to have to figure out a way to redo this stuff in the era of the transfer portal, because for a team like Tennessee, and lots of teams out there, but I just think that's the way Heupel is going to fast-track this thing.
That's basically how Tennessee fast-tracked it in the late 80s, early 90s. Look at how they augmented some of those rosters, JUCO players, some of our some big-time players off that early 90s, and that really good. And then you start getting better recruiting classes simply based on the fact that you're in the top five. So
yeah, and it's exciting to think about. I don't know if this dude's going to come here. I mean, his recruitment was wild and woolly last year. I'm sure this one's going to be wild and woolly. But he says he's coming in for a visit, and
we're going head to head with Ole Miss for him.
We'll see if Jerry Mack can work some magic there. And yeah, I mean, if you're Tennessee, like, the pitch is pretty simple, right? I mean, it's, hey, this is where Kamara went to school. You're a Kamara clone. Follow in his footsteps. And here's the other thing. Unlike Butch Jones, we're actually going to use you. We're going to give you the football, and you'll be able to get drafted higher than Kamara did.
Exactly.
And make more money.
And you're going to play in the offense that I really firmly believe, if it continues on, I mean, more and more people are going to start doing it. You're going to be somebody who just now picking up the go faster.
I hope not, man.
You want us to be the outlier.
Yeah. Well, I like being unique.
Well, as long as they can address the rules so that Lane Kiffin and other teams can't just lay down like that.
Well, it's kind of like when Pearl first got here, you know, and we were one of the only teams in the country that pressed, and it wasn't a full court press either. We had a really unique style. They run that flex baseline cut offense, and it's just a totally unique style of playing on both ends of the floor. And like Tennessee, we kind of have that, man. Nobody plays the way Heupel does. Huh. Even Ole Miss. It's similar. That's probably the closest thing to it, but
yeah. Alabama was capable of doing. Did you hear what, I guess, I don't know, I can't remember if we talked about this on the show, Dan Mullen basically saying that Tennessee exposed some stuff against Georgia. Yeah. Alabama was able to, with a deeper roster stable of wide receivers and, you know.
I think that's some pretty good analysis from the Moose Knuckle.
Yeah. Yeah.
I saw him on that pregame show in his tennis shoes and his suit.
He's such a nut.
Golly, man. Who's more disingenuous, him or Beauregard Kelly? I like, I'll give Roberto credit. Beauregard Kelly's good. Can
that's
we roll with that?
That's one of his better moments. Yeah.
Beauregard Kelly.
Yeah. Yeah, go with that. Sure.
Stay with us. The Drive continues. Joe Rexroad coming up at the bottom of the hour. You want to jump in, take a shot now. 865-546-8200. Your number to hop on the G3 Help Me Hotline. Back with more of your calls after this. Back here on The Drive, Fan Run Radio. Boy, Monday Night Football was, speaking of wild,
disaster. The wind. Did you like it? You were those guys?
Yeah. It's like in golf when you're seeing the U.S. Open and the wind's blowing and the greens are too fast and the guys, like,
they're whining.
I love seeing people under pressure. And actually, the Patriots, like, they had the perfect game plan, right? They're just like, okay, we're just not going to throw it.
Yeah. What do you go, 2 of 3 for 19 yards?
Yep.
How many times did they try and throw it? Buffalo try and throw it. I tuned out once I figured out they were going to play a normal game.
I don't know, a little more. They threw it more. They had a more normal game plan, but every time they were going into the wind. Like it just wreaked havoc, man. And they had a chance to kick a field goal and make it a one score game down there. They tried a field goal from, I mean, it was inside the 20. It was like less than 35 yards or so, and you saw the wind just push it straight out of the way.
Yeah.
You'll get that with those wind gusts.
Like the first couple of punts.
How brutal do you think it was in there last night? Just from a fan perspective.
Those people are used to it, man. Like the first couple of punts where they were punting right into it, and the it just never got 20 feet off the ground.
Well,
I mean,
that's one. It ended up being a fumble, and the Bills got it.
Bounced right off his face mask.
Yeah, but the returner completely lost it with the wind. He probably should have been a lot further away from that thing.
Tuesday's gone with the wind.
How about Joe Buck?
How about Joe Buck? Throwing
throwing a cheap shot at Peyton.
I kind of like it.
I didn't hear that one. It wasn't.
Peyton asked the question. He's like, Joe, when there's a blowout game, do you ever wish you could be like us and just have somebody on as like a guest? He's like, yeah, the last time I actually thought about that was the Super Bowl when you guys played Seattle.
Ooh. Joe Buck's here. He's got jokes, ladies and gentlemen. Peyton thought it was hilarious. It was pretty funny. It was a good burn.
Yeah.
Mild-mannered Joe Buck just sneaking up behind the goat with a frying pan, just braining him over the dome.
He did take on Artie.
And Peyton did get – I mean, that was as good a Super Bowl blowout as we've seen in quite some time.
And you knew it was going to happen from the first snap.
Yeah.
That was bad.
It was that year they decided to put it outside
in
New York.
In New York in the middle of January. I mean,
late 30s, early 40s.
If I didn't know any better.
Quarterback, multiple neck surgeries.
If I didn't know any better, I would say it was part of an anti-Peyton conspiracy.
Well, I'm way down the road on that one.
I would say that was just Roger Goodell trying to rob the GOAT of another championship. That's right. I'm throwing it out there. Even though the game was scheduled there years in advance. You know. It's weird, too. Like, that team, that version of Peyton was so much better than the version that won against the Panthers a couple of years later.
Well, yeah, he still had a little bit. He had a little bit more in the tank then. Some better throws.
It's weird that how it works out like that, huh?
Yeah. Maybe he got robbed. Do you see where Brent Musburger came out real strongly in defense of John Gruden?
Really?
Over the email deal?
Yeah, I saw it. I didn't go down the rabbit hole, though. I just saw the headline and moved on.
Just said real Musburger. Kind of, it was a total and complete hit job on John Gruden's reputation. It was a hit piece for sure.
It's wild that he's still doing those the Raiders games.
He still call it. Who would you rather listen to, Brent Musburger or Gary Danielson?
Oh, you kidding me? I mean, one's a play-by-play, one's the color guy, but Musburger is. I mean, he's one of the goats, right?
He was in the Water Boy.
Yes, he was, Jake. Yes, he was. Speaking of Peyton being robbed, you see all the blue checks clutching their pearls over the Heisman Trophy finalists?
Oh, yeah, I don't pay attention to it anymore.
Why is it Will Anderson? I don't know. Why didn't you guys get together and conspire like you did in 97 and give it to Will Anderson? You want a defensive player so much. Oh, that's right, you already did that the one time, and that's
you
want to
get me riled up about that? There's a defensive back in college football that year that had better stats than Charles Woodson. Terry Fair.
Was it Terry or was it Champ Bailey?
I thought it was Terry. Oh. If it wasn't Terry, he was really close.
After the Kentucky game that year is when Peyton started to lose track in the Heisman standings, and that was his best game statistically.
Oh, they started pumping up the narrative.
Yeah, it was Midwest.
ABC was ESPN showing all those games.
Anti Manning and anti Southern bias that they were showing. They tried to hold us down forever. Like, you got to keep in mind, when I was like a kid, like, Big Ten ran everything. SEC is now.
Yeah, and now that the shoe's on the other foot, they want it to be all good. I ain't forgetting. I'll take that to my grave. You can take that trophy and shove it straight up Kirk Herbstreit's rectum. That's what you can do with it. Shove it up there. That's what you can do with the Heisman. Who cares about the Heisman Trophy? It's an irrelevant popularity contest award.
Who are the finalists, though?
Bryce Young, the Hutchinson dude from Michigan.
He could be the best player in college football.
Kenny Pickett.
You can make a case for him being the best quarterback.
Who was the fourth one?
Wasn't Corral, was
C.J. Stroud.
C.J. Stroud, yeah.
So we played against two Heisman finalists.
I thought Pickett was Terry telling us how Pickett wasn't any good for that game.
Ain't no good. Hey,
we all have our swings and misses, T-Fair. By the way, T-Fair Tuesday is becoming a recurring theme. It will occur later in the week. I talked to Terry earlier today. He assures me that he's not just standing us up, Bear. He will appear on these airways with us at some point in the future.
There's some serious questions that await Terry's return.
Oh, no.
There always are, man.
Recruiting, transfer portals, mm-hmm. His thoughts on the coaching carousel.
We have these questions. The Mr. Football winners have been announced today.
Nice.
Kalik Ganaway, Peabody Senior, the Class 1A. Mr. Football, Ty Simpson, in 2A.
Nice. He plays in 2A?
No. Is it Westview? Yeah, Westview. They beat Hampton. It's going to be interesting, right? It'll be a little bit different competition he's going to be encountering in Alabama.
Yeah.
They say he's good, though. Caden Buckles of Alcoa.
There's no surprise there. Congrats. 3A.
Barion Brown, Pearl Cone, 4A. He's going to Kentucky. Class 5A, Mr. Football is the Beaver. Deshaun Bishop ran for 2,700 yards in the regular season.
Jesus God Almighty.
It's incredible.
He's got one more year in high school.
Yep. Destin Wade of Summit, 6A Mr. Football. Let's see. Steele Haynes. There's a nice name for you. The USJ. What is that? That's South
University
Jackson.
University School Jackson.
Yeah. Division II, single A. Alex Broom, Lipscomb Academy, Division II, double A. And then Dallin Hayden. Christian Brothers, the Division II AAA award. Justice Chadwick was the kicker of the year in Tennessee high school football. So congratulations to all those young men.
Good luck.
Good luck.
Deshaun will be back, so we'll get him another year at Carnes.
Tennessee's recruiting him hard.
They need to be. Carnes plays people.
Sure. And to be the best player on a team like that is, I mean.
It's the first time they made the playoffs in what?
No offense to the Carnes offensive line or any of the coaching staff or anybody else out there, but I'd imagine he's doing a lot of that on his own.
I mean, he's got incredible talent. They do have some. Carnes is not. They've slowly but surely. I can't remember the guy's name as their head coach right now. They've been improving. It's kind of been under the radar. I mean, like they beat Fulton a couple of years ago and beat some of the more established local teams. So, all it takes is one or two guys.
Do you remember back in the day in the 90s when every small town in Tennessee had its own local newspaper that came out weekly?
Oh, God, yeah, it was incredible.
Clinton, I can't remember what it was up there, but they had it was – right at the height of the Lewinsky scandal.
Yeah.
And Clinton had a game. They put the beat down on Carnes.
No, they didn't.
And the headline was Clinton Licks Beavers. In the weekly Clinton newspaper out there.
Nice.
It made Jay Leno headlines.
Did it really?
Yeah, The Tonight Show.
Yeah, those newspapers were – that was before. You'd see, some of the loonier stuff you see on message boards now. I used to be in some of those local papers.
Joe Rexroad of The Athletic, coming up next, right here on The Drive, more Fan Run Radio, coming up. Back here on The Drive, it's Fan Run Radio. Portions of the show brought to you by Knoxville Smiles, bringing the future of modern dental care to East Tennessee today. guided biofilm therapy. It's what we've been talking about. It is the future. You're not going to go to the dentist and get your teeth scraped and scratched and poked and prodded anymore. They're going to do it all water, almost touch-free. It's amazing. It's amazing what they have learned to do in modern dentistry right now. Knoxville Smiles is one of the first in the area to offer guided biofilm therapy. I had it done to clean my teeth last month. I couldn't be happier, more pleased with it. Makes going to the dentist so much more easier. Give them a call today to set up your appointment. 865-539-1776 is their number. That's 539-1776 for Knoxville Smiles. Or you can just go online, knoxvillesmiles.com, schedule your appointment there. You can take a virtual tour of their state-of-the-art West Knoxville facility. Again, online at knoxvillesmiles.com. We go to the G3 Help Me Hotline where Joe Rexrode, for some reason I wrote in my notes Rexrode. That is not his name, is it, Bear?
No, but I kind of like it.
That would be cool.
Rexrode.
Yeah, I think he's a big writer and does a radio show. He's probably stuck with Joe at this point.
Yeah. Yeah.
Joe, good afternoon. How are you, sir?
I'm good. Wait, you said Rexrode?
Rexrode.
That's what he had written down in his pre-production notes.
Yeah.
I like that. It could be like a pen name.
It sounds like the lead singer for 1980s hair metal group. Your alter ego.
Yeah, nice.
Joe, of course, the Athletic 102.5 The Game in Nashville. Good afternoon. How are you, sir?
I'm all right, just hanging in there and trudging toward the holidays. How are you guys doing?
Hey, yeah, the very same. He's excited about these bowl matchups. What is Nashville's reaction to the fact that Tennessee, finally, after all these years, it's only been four or five, coming back to the Music City Bowl to take on Purdue?
Yeah, I mean, I'd say there's excitement. You're going to have, I think the Music City Bowl people would love to have Tennessee, pretty frequently. Obviously, when you have Tennessee in a bowl game, you have so many Tennessee fans here. And, there may be other teams that come in that you'd have more people staying in hotels and stuff like that, right? But still, I mean, the Vols fans are going to turn out at the events, and it's going to be orange all downtown. And, Tennessee-Nebraska game was it was a good turnout. Yeah. I recall that day from Nebraska fans even. That was back when they still had some hope of a program ever coming back to life. So, Tennessee obviously had a very strong presence in the stadium. And I think there's excitement, too. Bowl people, they want to fill the stadium, they want ratings, but they want offense. And so, this was a very nice matchup from that perspective as well.
Yeah, we had a Purdue beat writer on in our first hour, and I'd forgotten this, but they got destroyed a couple of years ago in this game against Auburn. So I guess they're hoping to put together a better showing. The Purdue side of it is, obviously, but you just look at it. I mean, Brohm, Heupel, there could be some serious points put on the scoreboard.
Yeah, I mean, obviously we all know what Tennessee's offense could do. And, I don't know for sure. I guess you got to wait on some guys and see who's going to play. But if David Bell from Purdue plays, he's one of the best receivers in the country, period. That Jeff Brohm offense, they wing it around. I would expect a more competitive game than that one for sure. Although I will say too, I've watched a little bit of Purdue and their defense. I think Tennessee, if it's all hands on deck, I don't know how many times they're going to get stopped on this day.
Well, these bowl games, Joe, it's so hard to be, because the motivational aspect of it is so much more amplified than it is in the regular season, when most of the time regular season league games, both teams are going to show up and give their best effort, and the better team usually wins. These bowl games are a crapshoot, man, because it seems like there's a lot of teams that, for whatever reason, they just show up and they're not into it, or one team is just substantially more into it than the other team, and you just never know who's going to have that motivational edge. It seems like Tennessee is pretty fired up to be in this one. I would be shocked if they come out and lay an egg.
Yeah, oh, I agree. You know, and I think what you're talking about, I think that especially happens if you have like I'm looking at the Rose Bowl. I don't think Utah and Ohio State are close in terms of quality, but I'm looking at Utah there for the first time ever, and I'm looking at Ohio State expecting to be in the playoff every year. You know, it reminds me a little bit of that, like that year when Saban and Bam played actually Utah, right?
That was
Utah,
yeah,
in the Sugar Bowl. Yeah, there you go. So, like, those are the ones I really look at. Like, the team that's really disappointed to be in a, you know, still like a good bowl, but and maybe because of that also missing some guys too. I would think with this one, you know, I would think that both teams would be excited to play. I mean, going into the season, it's not like. I guess I know some Tennessee fans who were holding out hope, and you know that maybe one of the Florida Bowls would jump in there and grab them, which I thought was a possibility, just because it's just always gonna be an attractive team for bowls with this fan base. But yeah, I mean, I think everyone should be pretty pumped for this one.
Isn't that something about Ohio State maybe being a little flat headed to the Rose Bowl? I mean, Joe, you're from the Midwest. You know what that game traditionally means to people from Ohio and Michigan. And, you know, I go back, Saban kind of talked about this, and he wasn't the only one. People warning about, well, if you go to a playoff, it's going to de-emphasize the bowl games. And I guess some of that is correct. You know, I think some of these bowl matchups are pretty fun. But it is striking to hear you say that, and I don't disagree that Ohio State – might be a little disappointed to be going to the granddaddy of them all this year.
Yeah, and like they're in the fan base too, you know. Wow. That's, I mean, but that's, yeah. Well, I mean, look, it has done that, because you're right. Like growing up for me, I mean, the Rose Bowl was synonymous with that's the Super Bowl. I mean, that's, you know, I mean, of course I'm old enough, to a lot of my college football watching life was, gosh, I wonder who the pollsters are going to vote for to win the national championship, you know. And it's like, oh, darn, well, in the Rose Bowl, you know, this team can only play this team, but if the, you know, this team loses in the orange and the sugar, then maybe they can win it all. I mean, which is just a ridiculous thing to want to go back to, and we shouldn't want to go back to that. There's going to be some people who suffer through this playoff system and everything, and frankly, like, I just don't care if the bowls are de-emphasized or whatever. Like, I mean, they're good. You know, like this Music City Bowl, this is going to be a nice event. It's going to be a good display. It's a reward. And we should all love any extra football we get in a given year. But, like, the bowls just have had too much fire. I mean, the fact that we have to have a playoff on New Year's Eve again this year, so the freaking Rose Bowl can have its, you know, 5 p.m. kickoff, like, tradition, like, get out of here. I mean, I'm sorry, but, like, you're not still the same thing anymore.
I don't know, Joe. Speak for yourself, but I, for one, will always remember walking in as a wee lad to my living room, my dad sitting there in his favorite chair in his smoking jacket and saying, come here, son. Tonight we're going to watch the famous Idaho Potato Bowl or the Gasparilla Bowl or the Poulan Weedy, you know, what? I'm with you, man. Like, people wax poetic about these bowl games and the tradition, and it was fun growing up. Like, I'm not saying it wasn't, but I mean, we sold this out a long time ago, right? I'm with you, Joe. Like, let's expand the playoff. I say put it on the campuses, man. Make it more accessible for the other teams, and you get more football that way too.
No, and that's the next thing that I'm going to be furious about, and I already have been. It's just this. I mean, just, like, if the 12-team playoff goes as they're talking about, you know, they're talking about, obviously, like, the first-round home sites, great. But then the top four seeds don't get home games? Huh? I mean, you know, the top four seeds have to play in, you know, in quarters at bowl sites, and then another neutral site for the semis, and then another neutral site for the championship game. I mean get out of here. I mean, it's insane. And I mean, it's just there's just way too much power wrapped up in the bowls. There just is. I mean, it doesn't make any sense at all. But, well, we'll have plenty of time to complain about that. I'm sure coming.
Yeah, change happens slow in the world of college football, for sure. Joe, I'd love to get your thoughts on Georgia going forward after just getting shellacked Saturday night down there in Atlanta. Of course, they've got Michigan going forward. I mean, what is the mind state of that program moving forward? You still got a championship to play for potentially here, but you can't have a ton of confidence if you're a Georgia fan, knowing that Alabama is probably waiting at the end of that road again.
Yeah, you know, I that's a great question, Russell. I don't know, but to me, after watching them all year, I think the mindset should be, yeah, we can still win this thing. You know, it was a bad day. I mean, and look, it's the first time that we've seen that defense handled at all, like remotely. I still think that defense, they're going to go from Bryce Young and Jameson Williams and Metchie and all those guys, they're going to go to, you know, a very good Michigan team, but not a passing attack that instills much fear in you. I mean, you know, they're fine, but I think that this should be a wake-up call for them, and they should want to have that rematch because I think they can be. I mean, seriously, like, look, early in that game, I was like a lot of people, like, why did I think Saban was going to get thumped today? What are you doing? What are you thinking here? You know, but then Bennett, you know, gives him the ball a couple things. You can't do what he did, right? And maybe the QB thing needs to be looked at, although I don't think it will be. I still think that team absolutely can win two more games and could beat Alabama. And if they played Alabama 10 times, I think I'd take Georgia to win more than half of them. I believe that. I believe what I've seen all year from them. I think it was a bad day. And look, Saban's the GOAT. And maybe Kirby's just not up to it. That's possible. I mean, that narrative is pretty strong. It's been earned, and it's going to get a lot stronger, obviously, if they don't do it. But to me, they should be hungry as ever and ready to go out and kick Michigan's butt, which I think they can absolutely do, and get that shot at Alabama. I just think there's a lot of overreaction right now to what this means for them. They had a bad day against a very, you know, a great quarterback and an overall very good team. But that Alabama team still has flaws, too. We've seen that. Let's believe what we've seen from them all year, too. I mean, I saw them have to, you know, scratch and claw to beat Arkansas and Auburn and lose to Texas A&M. I don't think everything we saw from these two teams this year is all fraudulent. I think it's real. It was one day. And, frankly, I hope we do get to see a rematch, and I bet you it's a different type of game.
If you're Kirby, how do you handle the quarterback situation moving forward? You just stick with Bennett? Do you have a plan in place in case things don't go well again to get JT Daniels in the game?
Yeah, see, I'm just going on assumptions because, I mean, Daniels has been available. And so I just they haven't even really hinted at all at doing that before this. So, I mean, a lot of it's internal, like what's Stetson's mindset and everything, but I think he's actually been awfully good this year and, you know, has made plays with his feet at times and does what you need to do with that team, with everything else they have. So I think, you know, it's still his ball. Do you get JT Daniels some more reps or something just in case? Maybe, but I also think you want to make sure that you have Stetson Bennett's confidence as high as possible and express your confidence in him as much as possible. So I think I'd roll with, again, what's worked for me all year. Understand, hey, you know, he got baited into a couple picks, and he just can't make those plays. But, I the kid's got moxie, and he may not be look, it's the weak link. We know this. But I just don't – I mean, if the fact that he has been the choice tells me – that internally they got information that tells me should be, right?
Yeah.
And I think I'd go with that.
Yeah, and I mean, the thing I just keep going back to is, man, it was those same two teams in that same stadium a couple of years ago when Saban made maybe the ballsiest move of all time when he benched Hurts for Tua, who we hadn't even seen much of like mop-up duty, right? We've seen Daniels, I feel like, more than we had seen Tua to that point. And I just feel like I understand sticking with Bennett, you know, you ride the horse that brought you there. But I also think that if you get into that game and it's going poorly again and you just don't see it changing, I think you got to try something different.
Yeah, no, I'm not. I would agree. Like if he comes out and it's like, oh man, he just gets shell shocked by playing Alabama or something, and it's not going well early. Sure, I mean we know Daniels has a lot of talent. I mean I don't think that's ever been in dispute. So I'd agree. By the way, you know, I could point you to a text I shot off that actually got ratioed by some Bama fans.
Uh-oh.
When Tua played in mop-up duty that year at Vanderbilt in the game, they beat Vanderbilt like 100-0 or whatever. And I said something like, this Tua guy might take his job at some point. So I just want to put that out there.
Yeah, Joe saw
one of my very few predictions I got right.
Yeah, I remember him looking good in mop-up duty in that game. Joe, last thing we'll let you run. Titans finally got that off week. You got the Jags. This weekend, situation for the Titans to rebound, get healthier, and move forward this weekend?
Well, they better. I mean, if they don't, if they don't win this game, and really they should win it somewhat comfortably, then, man, I just don't know where things are going. On the health front, we're definitely going to know a lot more tomorrow when we see who's on the practice field, because they just had not just the guys on IR, and they've got a lot of big guys on IR, but just other guys who've just been banged up, missing practice, you know, David Long Jr. and Harold Landry and some of these guys, you know, if they're back and running around and good now, Julio Jones is back at practice. That's huge. They, you know, he's the first of the big guys to come off IR. You got possibly Bud Dupree next week, possibly AJ Brown the week after that. But if they get Julio Jones back and those other guys are, you know, their offensive line still hasn't played, the starting group still has not played and finished an entire game. You know, it basically comes down to, are they going to start getting some good luck or some not horrible luck, or is that just what the season is going to be remembered for? But, yeah, you got to beat Jacksonville, and shoot, right now, even with all this, I mean, they're the number two seed right now, and they're right there to get the one if they can get people back and kind of get back to how they were playing.
Joe, always a pleasure, my friend. Thanks for jumping on with us.
All right, Russell. Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Joe Rexroad of The Athletic and 102.5 The Game in Nashville on the G3 Help Me Hotline. Quick timeout. The Drive continues. Back with more right after this. Fan Run Radio, The Drive continues. This is going to be my last segment. I have to attend a middle school choral concert tonight.
Christmas choral concert?
I believe so, yes.
Holiday themed, huh?
This is going to be like the one in Home Alone 2.
Hopefully there's no like stage collapse.
Can they sing good? Or then
well, Bear.
Can they sing well? Well,
they sang good.
I don't know, man. I guess we're about to find out. I hope so. Yeah, I guess so. I don't know.
About to find out.
I mean, we didn't have these things last year, so I don't know. Oh. This is the first one of these I've been to.
You may say we had them when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Were you in the, like in my daughter's school, you either do the band or a chorus. You got to do one.
I think it's good. Did it back then. Probably chorus or something.
You did chorus? You weren't in band?
No. No.
I did performing arts.
Like theater and stuff?
Yeah.
That's cool. I could see that. Were you a behind-the-scenes guy or were you an actor?
I was an actor.
You fancied yourself a thespian, did you?
A what?
A thespian.
I think that's an actor. I don't know. I might be wrong on that.
No, you're not.
I'm good? Okay, cool. Used a big word correctly.
Yeah.
He has no idea what you're talking about there.
He was an actor. What did you act in?
Funny enough, some military stuff before I even thought about joining the military.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Good for you.
Deep voice. I can yell really loud, so.
No need to do it.
All I know is.
He thinks I yelled at him. I did not yell.
Are you two going to be able to get along while I'm not here?
There's going to be some furniture moving.
What do you mean?
Really? You're going to move furniture?
Yeah.
I don't lift anything. I don't know if you've met me, but I don't move furniture.
It's going to involve me coming up to slap him across the face. I'm going to trip over that chair.
Whoa. No.
I like how calmly Jake delivered that threat. He's like, yes, I'm going to walk up there and slap you across the face, and you're just going to have to eat it.
You're going to have to. You may find out when keeping it real goes wrong.
You're going to find out.
Come up over this desk.
All I know is, and I hate to do this. I know this is probably bad form. I hate to bite the hand that feeds me. But these, gosh darn, Google Fi YouTube ads.
We can't get Google Fi here.
With the
or no, I'm thinking Google Fiber.
the YouTube ads with the jingles. You guys,
yeah,
you go down the YouTube rabbit hole. If you do YouTube, you know what I'm talking about.
Hello, yeah. Google Fi.
Oh my god. Oh my god.
You just keep it muted until that part's over.
Fills me with the rage of a thousand burning suns.
Because you can't get it out of your head.
Well, you can't skip over it. They make you listen to the whole 15 seconds.
We can listen to the whole dang thing.
Man. Oh, the guy's voice is so obnoxious. So obnoxious, man. You got to make it stop, YouTube. You got to. You got to. Guys, please.
You have to monetize the videos and you make ads on the or money on the monetization.
I know, man. I know. There's just got to be a better way. Like
maybe that's what
not,
we should do.
Not all the ads are super obnoxious. It's just those true. Ones, man. Awful. Just brutal.
We could do a YouTube live stream. Monetize that.
For this show?
Yeah.
Well, it's a long thing. But yeah, I mean, we have the capabilities of doing that.
Yeah.
And I mean, with you and I, the raw sex appeal that we bring to Fan Run Radio, our beautiful full heads of hair, dark, handsome eyes. I mean, I would think that we would be a ratings winner on the YouTube scene, right?
Absolutely.
Very popular with the ladies.
Yeah.
You're popular at times with one, maybe two tops.
Hey!
That's if the little one's not mad at you.
I need you to be nicer, a kinder, gentler bear in hour number three.
That ain't gonna happen.
I wanna have a job to come back to.
When have I ever been mean? After he leaves. Told y'all to do what you're told a couple of times.
Folks, get your bowl picks in for the Crowd Cleaners Bowl Picks Challenge. Win fabulous gifts and prizes. We're adding a Rickard Ridge Barbecue gift card. I guess I have to go up there and get that now. Oh, darn.
Well, I'm going up there tomorrow, so.
Are you?
Yeah.
All right. Go run into Jake for lunch at Rickard Ridge. December 7th, a date that will live in infamy, ladies and gentlemen. Botch and Pruitt introduced on the same day. Hashtag never again.
Hashtag killed our program.
Never schedule a coach introductory. I mean, we are going to have to hire another football coach at some time. Like, I get that. I hope it's not for a long time. I hope Pruitt goes on a run here.
Goes on a run here?
Oh, damn it. I hope he goes on a run to...
What are you?
I hope Heupel goes on a run here, yeah. Obviously. And I just hope that, like, whenever and hopefully it's because he retires and rides off into the sunset after a 20-year run with multiple national championships, right? However it ends, I hope that somebody over there, if they hire the coach in early December, is has the wherewithal, has the awareness to remember, guys – we're not doing this on the 7th. What do you mean we're not doing this? We hired him. We got to roll out there in the press conference. No, you don't understand. It's bad mojo. We've done this twice before.
We ain't going to do it again.
We ain't going to do it again. All right, y'all. Keep this car between the ditches. Bear and Jake, hour number 3 of The Drive, coming up next right here on Fan Run Radio.